Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm John David.
What?
Oh, I revealed my middle name. Bleep it out.
No middle names. And welcome to the show. This week we'll review We Need to Do Something. Exclamation? I don't know how to say that.
What we're trying to say is we don't have a movie to review this week, and we need to do something.
Okay.
So let's figure it out. No.
We'll figure it out. Cool. We'll just go. We'll just do it live. Yeah. That's fine. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, maybe. Give our first thoughts and then go to deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. And I recommended that we check out Masters of Horror, Cigarette Burns. Directed by horror daddy John Carpenter. And written by Rebecca Swan and Drew McQueenie. So Drew McQueenie just is just all intents and purposes probably one of my favorite ongoing film critic. I've been reading him since I was in high school. And this is like his first thing, I believe, he got produced. And I honestly easily can say without, aside from that, I easily say this is probably the best of the anthology, one of the better ones out of the anthology of Masters of Horror.
What? No way. There's plenty of really good directors that I'm sure made really good segments. Joe Dante.
Just kidding. Yeah.
Looking in your direction. That series. Yeah. yeah, this was really good. I mean, I didn't know Carpenter didn't write this because I could have sworn like this is exactly like his Apocalypse series. You know, it might as well be like In the Mouth of Madness or Prince of Darkness. It, like all hits all the same things.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is... I don't remember. This happened in 2005. I don't remember what led to what, but it was like essentially all of these horror directors would have like a night they would come together and watch movies, play games, drink, screen stuff. And they decided Mick Garris was kind of the co-creator, if I remember. He kind of was hosting a lot of these events, and then he just had his pick of directors. So he got like Joe Dante, John Carpenter, and then they made a list of horror directors and that they wanted to do an anthology series.
And then those two guys directed several movies in one night. That's why only a few of them are good.
They shot them all in one night. Yeah. But had you seen this one before? Or is this your first time seeing it?
No, very first time. Yep.
Okay,
pleasantly cool. Surprised that Norman Reedus was the main actor.
This is the point in Norman Reedus where he had the reputation as kind of like a, I think it was kind of like a, not, he's not the Norman Reedus we know, but I think at this point, I think he had just done like Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
I think he had some trouble. I don't want to speculate.
Yeah, this was back when he was still, this is before the motorcycle accident.
Yeah, so definitely.
I want to say... Yeah, because I really, really like this guy. This was when he wasn't good all around. he's kind of being a shitty guy, and also his acting wasn't all that great. But now I think he's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Like, he had all, you could see all the charisma of what he would become, right? Of a leading man that he is now. And, but it really took The Walking Dead and that character to kind of make him, you know, fully formed actor, I guess.
Yeah.
Or confident actor. And this is one of his earlier things. I of course, checked this out, but I hadn't seen this since 2005. So it's been like forever.
Yeah.
So it was still like watching it again. Like I remembered pieces of it, but it was still like brand new. So it was like, still felt like it was something new watching it.
Yeah. You know, and this movie was like a fucking great, a good example of what a solid anthology series should be like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't any longer than it needed to be. You know, I thought the ending was great. Yeah, I thought I really, really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
even
same.
Though no one smokes really... a cigarette throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I like that it plays upon a lot of from the writers. He was a projectionist, or like he worked at a movie theater for a large part of his youth. So he knows, he kind of is really nerdy about these like things, right? Like, yeah, changing film reels, there being like that a lot of those canisters have nitrate in them. The idea was that like if they were to like explode, they could explode in your hand and when changing reels, or they could cut you. There was like a dangerous process to it. You know what I mean? As a projectionist. So he knew all these little details, and he kind of, I think that's what I like the most. It feels like all these little details about being a projectionist, being like films, mentioning film festivals. It seemed like somebody within the know, right?
Yeah.
On top of kind of like this idea of watching the most fucked up movie ever made that made people basically murder each other and riot in the theater, which is a really cool concept.
Yeah, exactly. Again, kind of like In the Mouth of Madness. So it's got mm-hmm. a really strong Stephen King vibe too because of that, you know? Mm-hmm. I thought it was very good. It was very cool. Like the obsessive nature and then not realizing it's not an obsessive nature because you're already a part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like no, yeah.
No, I think that, and I could relate to this, getting into film when I was just like high school, I tend to have, I don't even know this job, but I have a very like addictive personality. So when I get into something, I go like all the way in. So my at points in my life, I was looking up the weirdest, most fucked up movies I could possibly get my hands on. So I definitely could relate to that sense of wanting to, like, I'd go on eBay, Amazon, I'd walk into every video store and look at all the used DVDs, you know, just to find whatever they had, right? So that was always, like, a big thing. And I would always, like, oh, my God. And it always was, like, this search for something. So I definitely related.
I don't have the fifth installment of Faces of Death, and I'm still on the hunt.
My thing would be like, I want to watch the thing that inspired Faces of Death. That's where it was. That's kind of like my weird obsession. And at this point, it was just like the internet was right there. So I was like just looking up shit, following breadcrumbs, right? Like going to forums, looking up web pages and finding out lists of fucked up movies to watch. So that side of it, I could totally relate to, you know? So it was a good rewatch. Yeah, this is a good rewatch. It's a really great, solid piece.
It's fun. It's funny. I mean, not funny. It was like, actually, nothing about it was funny at all.
It's very, quite serious.
I don't know why I said funny.
Yeah.
I'm drinking a Bloody Mary.
Heroin addiction is funny to you. Got it.
Yeah. Chaining up an albino guy. So you're supposed to assume that it's all a part of the film anyway that's happening in real time. So that guy was not actually ever an actor in the film. He was whatever that character was in the film.
That's interesting. I didn't really take it on that level. Do you want to go into that, explain that a little bit?
Yeah, because I think the way the film works is you only see, I mean, I guess you can share at the end, they both kind of saw the same thing, sort of, but you only see what the film wants you to see because you're already a part of this film. So it doesn't really matter what you're watching or what the film is letting you see because you are already a part of this bigger picture, I think was the idea. And that's why I think this film is kind of like the end of all things, I guess. It is the beginning of annihilation. I'm just writing taglines right now. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So I guess if to quickly explain, like, I'm just going to read the IMDb plot summary. With the torrid past that haunts him, a movie theater owner is hired to search for the only existing print of a film so notorious that a single screening caused the viewers to become homicidal. See, I got to open up the page. Homicidally insane. So they're looking for this notoriously like holy grail of a horror films or whatever, because it only screened once. Anytime it ever tried to screen again, there was always like weird, mysterious things that would happen.
Yeah.
No, actually, I took this more on. I kind of like your reading of it because I took it more on face value, kind of like just this film is cursed because of the ambition of the director and taking it so extreme and going so far. It's like, I'm going to kill an angel on film, but I'm going to do it in this, like, you know, I'm actually going to capture an angel and kill it. And somehow that like cursed the film and anybody who watches it. That's kind of how I kind of took it. I didn't read. And the people who watch it all go insane. They all die, basically, right? Like, it's like, it's almost like, what is it? That movie? Ring?
Oh, the Ring series. Ringu.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But not... But a little more. I think some of the more ideas are more sophisticated in a way. Like they're a little more abstract, I guess, than the.
But yeah, I kind of took it like this film finds the people it wants to find. Because you don't know, you're watching Norman Reedus's journey, right? You don't know for a fact that Udo Kier had been doing any of this for that long. You're just taking his word for it, right? And then the cigarette burns happen before he even gets to the film. He's just near the film. And then when his wife kind of explains to him, like, oh, it doesn't matter if you want to watch it or not anymore because you're already a part of this. So she just gives him the film.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good one.
Interesting. It's a good one, yeah. It's interesting, thought-provoking, and I was a little turned off by the cheap TV production of it. Not the most, like, stylistically thing John Carpenter has ever done. I mean...
He's definitely done way worse, though.
He's definitely done way worse, and I love that he has his son do the score, which sounds like a Carpenter score too, so that I thought that was a nice touch. Adds so much.
Those Carpenters,
they're so
yeah. I mean, I would recommend watch. I mean, I would tell people to watch this, but to kind of steer clear of the rest of the series. But
I would like. We've talked about it. I think last week. The Mike Mike ones are good. He just two Mike ones.
You say Mike, call him Mike. I don't know. Yeah, Takashi, right?
Yeah. He did an imprint and a second one, which I thought were really good.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie he's done that was bad, though. Because even if they're real fucked up, you can't call them bad. Like, they're just fucked up.
That's true, yeah.
Like,
they're interesting.
Yeah.
At the very least, yeah.
I guess he's most famous for the Tetsuo series, right? The Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very difficult movies to watch. Like,
yeah.
Visually, they hurt my eyes.
Iron Man.
Yeah, it's that one where that guy is convinced that he's becoming part machine, and he starts like cutting himself open and inserting more machine elements in his body, and then he ultimately does become like this big machine, but you're not sure if it's all in his head or if it's actually happening. Oops, sorry, dropped something. And it's got like a weird color scheme to it on purpose to make it seem more mechanical. And it's like, oh God, it fucking hurts my eyes. It gives me the same feeling I get when you're tired, and let's say you're in the backseat of a car and you're just looking out the window, and like you go by a chain link fence, and for some reason your eyes just kind of hurt looking at that.
Right.
Or they become sensitive, I would say.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm more familiar with Audition and what is it, Ichi the Killer?
Yeah.
So kind of like his more Ichi the Killer, yeah. Oh, he did also 13 Assassins. Yep. So that was a little fucked up. That was super good too.
He's really he's great.
Really good director. Yeah, this is a really fun little short. It was fun to revisit. I think it's still really good.
Yeah.
Excellent concept, execution. I think this is one of the last great Carpenter things before he decided to say fuck it, retire. You know,
yeah, because I want
not a fan of the Ward.
Yeah,
not a fan of the Ward.
I was gonna say the Ward was okay, but fuck, like I know I've seen it like several times and I never remember it. Because
the Ward, yeah, the Ward was. It just goes through the motions. Yeah, it's definitely the end.
Yeah,
the end there. That's okay. That's okay. Not everything got to be a home run. So that's fine, in my opinion.
Lesson to be learned here is to check real quick. Stop doing movies in your 60s.
Get out. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah, he did. Let's see. He only did three things in the early 2000s. Ghost of Mars, Master of Horrors, and The Ward. And then that's it. He was done. I was right. This is the last great thing he did.
He was like, you know, oh, well, you're saying Ghost of Mars isn't good? That's interesting. Okay.
I did say that. I did say that. I included it. Man, we got to just sit down and just talk. Oh, we did talk about Carpenter that one time. We've done it. Oh, shit.
And neither of us put Ghost of Mars in our top five, which is astounding, really.
Now, if we did a top 90s Carpenter movies, it might make my list. We're looking at Memories of Invisible Man, Body Bags, In the Mouth of Madness, Village of the Damned, Escape from L.A., Vampires, and Ghost of Mars.
Yes. Which, Village of the Damned was okay, but not great.
Yeah. Not great, yeah.
Vampires Again was okay, but not great.
Not great. All righty. Let's both recommends, I'd say. And let's move on to our main review. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I sure do, but I gotta disclose something.
No, here it is.
I didn't watch it. So you're gonna have to explain to me exactly what this movie is so I can ask you questions about it.
Okay. Shit. How do I explain it?
Let's start with the beginning. Once upon a time, there was a family, and they're in a bathroom. That's what I've got so far.
Okay, all correct. They are bicker.
They bicker like heavenly. A family would. Okay.
Like a family would.
Interesting. Okay.
And they are put have to hide in the bathroom because there's a tornado. There's a storm or something. So they have to shelter.
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
Interesting.
Yep. And
is there a reason the bathroom?
I think because, it might be like a Midwest thing. It's a Midwest thing, where you hide in your tubs. If there's tornadoes, because like we're hurricane people and earthquake people. So, you know, but I think they were Midwest where they worry about tornadoes, which is where I think why they went to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
This seems like the sort of family that wouldn't be prepared to have so much internal squabbling that they wouldn't be prepared and have like a shelter or like a place to go to in case of emergency. So they would do the most like thing they recommend people. If a tornado were to touch down and fall, I don't know why I'm giving so much explanation on this, but if tornado were to like fall,
so you're saying they
would all hide in the tub.
Oh, okay. So they can shower. Or,
no, that's
or
just,
if they shit themselves, something, they just bathe it all off.
I don't I mean, again, I'm talking, you're speaking to somebody who grew up with hurricanes and now earthquakes.
So that's all we got.
I think.
And possibly tsunamis randomly because New Zealand had a volcano erupt.
Oh, yeah. That was fucked up. That's fucked. What am I?
We got all a little bit
employees
of rain.
Employees told me. Did you?
Yeah, because of it, I think.
Yeah.
This past week.
We did. It's kind of fucked up. Like, one of my employees was like, she was like, did you know there's a, what is it? Like a warning? Tsunami watch. I was like, what? I was like, maybe I checked my phone. I'm like, I don't see anything. Do you live near the coast or anything? Like closer to the thing? Like, no. I was like, shit.
There's a tsunami watch.
Come to find out that there was a tsunami watch. Great.
Okay, so run me through these characters. Are there two daughters? Is that what I'm looking at?
On the okay, thumbnail? So there's mom and dad who hate each other, goth girl and little boy.
And little boy. Okay, two goth girls? Which goth girl? The
one goth
pink
girl.
Hair or the black hair? Pink hair.
Pink hair.
Oh, wait. Is Pat Healy an angry man in this one?
Yes. What? Pat Healy plays
an angry man. He never plays an angry guy. Ever. In any movie he's ever been
in.
No, that's great. Like, he's
perfect. Stretch.
Perfect, perfect. Okay. So, wait. So, who's this black hair goth girl?
She is, so you come to find out that the main lead, the pink-haired girl, she is a lesbian and she falls for this goth chick and they have a relationship. This is like the only stuff that they show pre-storm.
Oh, okay.
So we get some quick, they have a quick, cute story about how she's a cutter and she doesn't feel anything.
Okay. Like Hot Topic so, Wes Anderson. Is it that cute?
less sophisticated in in it. I don't want to paint the wrong picture, okay. So it's not like that. But so.
Is it more like, what was that movie reviewed? It was really good about the kids that accidentally killed that other kid with the sword and what was that called? There's like high school kids and somebody keeps fucking with the sword. And then somebody accidentally stabs the other kid to death, so they just like kind of bury him in the woods. And then
it's the cheerleader one.
No, it's the it was really good too. I can't believe I forgot the name of the movie. It's a real moody film. It kind of felt like a
Super Dark Times.
Yeah,
Super Dark Times. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know why the sword thing threw me off, but yeah, you're right. It was a sword. So I would say the first half hour, it essentially plays out like a play, right? Like, I think you would have loved this part of it because it plays, it's like a play. It's like the father, the mother are being passive aggressive with each other. The son says like cute shit, and the goth girl is like distancing herself. So there's a lot of like character setup, including these like flashbacks with about this relationship. It kind of it's not implicitly said why it's important, but they eventually explain why that's important. So there's a huge storm, and it just like fucks everything up. And the next morning, they wake up or whatever, and they try to get out, but they can't open the door.
Oh,
because apparently there's a giant, according to the people, there's a giant tree. I guess a large part of their houses got ripped away, and there's a large tree sitting in front of it, so they can't get out.
Okay, so I got a question. Anytime they're in this bathroom, do you ever get to see what's outside of the bathroom?
No.
Okay, because that's what it sounds like what you're telling me right now.
Yeah, it's okay. A play. It's all set in one place.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. Okay. So family's bickering. It sounds like goth girl is the lead. So how is she reacting to this bickering? I'm assuming the mom and dad are bickering, and then is the son shitty too?
No, he's they play him as innocent.
Oh, okay.
Innocent, four-eyed kid. Yeah.
Better be. He was born in 2010.
Oh, my God. I feel not young. Yeah. Well, where do you want to go next?
I'm wondering. Okay. I'm trying to understand the dynamic of this family. So the mom and the dad, okay. I'm assuming, are they getting a divorce or something? Is that what's happening?
No, he drinks too much, and she gets phone messages from people.
What? Okay.
That will.
Is that a reveal?
She gets calls and doesn't explain. Okay. Okay. That's a reveal. I don't know. We're doing spoilers or no spoilers.
I want to see if I can figure this out. Okay. So. Okay. So dad drinks too much. She's like, perfect Pat Healy again.
Right.
So it's like, because Pat Healy was also the dad in It, right? Right? Wasn't that him?
Sure. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think so. Was he?
I could be confusing him with
the rapey dad?
The other guy that also plays an angry guy all the time. yeah, I'm probably confusing him with the other guy that's always an angry dad also. Is this like a...
Does
the dad beat the wife or anything like that? Is that the idea?
No. So let me ask you this. So at what point do you think the spookies happen? Take wild guesses on what do you think happens. Why is it spooky?
Okay. I'm going to guess after the first half hour, only because you already mentioned that in the first half hour. So I'm assuming after the first half hour. That's my educated guess.
Okay.
And is okay. Uh-huh. So you're telling me that the daughter is the main protagonist, I'm assuming, right? Oh, is this one of those movies? Would you call anybody a protagonist in this?
It leans more on her side, but it's more ensemble-y, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So she's a goth girl with a goth girlfriend. I'm getting some craft vibes. Is she like a witch thing or something? Is she a...
She... Yes.
Because I'm getting real crafty. I mean, crafty. Like craft sort of feeling from this movie now.
Craft cheese. American made.
Not to be confused with the sequel to The Craft, which I heard was complete garbage.
Oh my God, that did come out. That does exist.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you totally reminded me about that. I still have no interest in watching it.
No.
But yeah, the remake. Yeah. Yeah. So they start a relationship and they are innocently making out in front of one of their houses or something. And there's somebody videotaping them, another kid, right? But we don't really get to see who he is. He's kind of like not as important. And they tell him, hey, go fuck off. Why are you videotaping us, you pervert? Like a pretty normal situation, right?
Yeah.
And
I mean, why is he doing that? It's just a yank. That's it.
That's it. You can't watch Ikaru. Or, to wank to. So she is more bewitched than the goth girl, pink haired girl. So she takes it a step further. She does a spell. She gets from the wet from the internets, okay. And she conducts it, and the boy dies.
Oh shit!
And so then they have to like bury the boy in the backyard.
Oh, but do they show the spell? Do they do the spell like on? Is there like a?
They do the spell.
What is it? Yeah. What do they do?
But
oh,
they say some Latin words. That was the extent of it.
Oh, okay. That was it.
They read some Latin.
Like a cauldron or anything like that?
I don't remember. It wasn't like Hocus Pocus-ish. It didn't lean that witchy.
Oh, okay.
It leaned like crafty. More craft.
Okay, so they...
That makes sense.
Oh, so they just said a bunch of like word like a... I don't want to say a seance, but like they just said a bunch of words and something happened.
Amado, Spirito, Nacho yeah. Burrito. Yeah.
Nacho Libre.
Something like that.
Lumos.
Yeah.
Expelliarmus.
Expelliarmus, yeah. Yeah, so, but another little twist, E. What do you want to guess who the twist is?
Or I'm assuming this has something to do with their situation in the bathroom.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Otherwise, what would they show it, right?
But do you know why? Do you want to take a guess why?
Hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to guess why?
Interesting. Why? Why? I mean, where is this goth girl while this chick is being trapped in the bathroom, though? I mean, the girlfriend.
I think she went home and she has like, the goth girl is like tied to her phone, right? So that's kind of like one of the early setups is everyone's okay. on their phones. And she's, leaves a couple of messages like, oh, I miss you. Why don't you answer? Blah, blah, blah. Like sincerely hugs and, you know, XOXO kisses and stuff. So it's kind of vague in how they, where they leave it, why she isn't there. But I'm assuming she's sheltering somewhere else, I guess.
Oh, okay. Okay. I actually have another question. Hopefully this isn't like a spoiler or whatever. How long, okay. What is the time frame of them being stuck in this restroom? If there's a tree or whatever.
The entire movie. The entire movie.
So this is like days or weeks or what is this?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All of the above. Yeah. Okay. So.
All of the above. It's. To where they go insane, right? They're starving. They deal with them being hungry. They deal with them being desperate to get out. They have a lot of like ideas, and you know they kind of go mad, basically.
Okay. And why didn't they call anybody to help them?
I think there was no phone service.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but I thought the girl, the goth, the pink haired girl, was getting texts or whatever.
She was so. The father at some point he tried to check outside at some points and he took her phone and lost it and found it later. She was able to retrieve it later.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So like nobody else ever pops up in this whole thing. It's just them.
And there's no other characters.
Oh, okay.
It's, So what ends up happening, well, one of the things that happens is they do this spell, but she, of course, ashes it, meaning like she doesn't like do the spell correctly.
Classic.
So instead of using a human tongue. She uses a dog's tongue. The dog. Yeah. So,
do they show them ripping out a dog's tongue?
There is a tongue.
Okay.
So it's just really like, so this place, this movie kind of goes all over the place. Like it tries to create a sense of like what's going on around him, right? Like at first, like there's a snake that tries to come in.
Okay.
And it gets in and it kind of
But what kind of snake was it? Is that important?
No, rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake?
It's not really like...
Are they in Texas?
Sure. No, I don't know. Midwest, I don't know.
I had rattlesnakes in my backyard.
Me too. Yeah. Like canal snakes. You know snakes can like skid over water? It's like a thing.
Yeah, I remember I saw that somewhere and it made me, in retrospect, there is a canal. You remember where my mom's house is, right? That canal? Uh-huh. We used to like fuck around and like hang out in there or jump across it. And it never occurred to me until I went to like a zoo where I saw like the rattlesnake like kind of like skid on the water. I was like, fuck, we could have. There's several moments living in Texas. We should be dead.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a wild side to Texas. Definitely. Yeah.
Not anymore. So, it's all nice and calm.
Not anymore. Easygoing.
Everybody's chill.
Chill. Because they have no power.
Okay, so there's a rattlesnake.
There's a rattlesnake. So they have like rattlesnakes. So there is some creature, maybe demon voice talking to them. They try to pull the girl out from the room, but they end up saving her, the family, and she pulls the tongue out.
Wait, how the hell?
And the family.
Like, so this thing reached in like that far and grabbed?
They did one of those situations, So she pulls her hand back in, and lo and behold, she has a tongue in her hand.
Oh, like the spell.
And everyone mutually decides to eat the tongue. So they all eat the tongue as a family.
Hey, you know what? If you're from South Texas, you just know that's lingua, and you know it's good. It's good eating. if you've ever had barbacoa, you know what you're eating.
We also get this sense that there is... So there's some people that actually find them. He's like, hey, is anybody there? Kind of situations. And the guy's like, yeah, we're stuck in here. We can't get out. There's a giant tree. And they're like, okay, we'll be right there. And as they get closer to that whatever happening outside, you just hear like large creature attacking. And there's like military shooting rifle situations, like a battle going on outside to rescue them. So clearly this storm... You can surmise this storm brought something, and maybe it's just a random circumstances. Maybe it's this bad spell. It kind of leaves it up to the imagination.
Interesting.
But the little boy gets bitten by the snake.
So the little boy sucks.
Dies.
Damn.
The little boy dies.
Interesting.
And then the father wants to eat the little boy. So that's where we are.
Oh, okay. That's a bit of a spoiler.
Yeah.
But before...
we're deep. We're doing it differently.
Well,
we're doing it all differently.
Before you spoil everything, I disclosed that I didn't watch the movie, but now I got to give you full disclosure. I did watch this
movie. Uh-oh. You dick.
No, that was pretty good. So there's just a few things that I think I saw differently.
I missed?
that I saw differently. So, yeah, that the girlfriend has, like, this weird idea of, like, she feels like there was something dead in her the entire time. So they are witches, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think, like, she's just becoming the carrier of whatever... thing they're conjuring by accident got birthed. So I don't think it would have mattered if they did the spell right. I think it's more important that she did the spell And it's
right. She let it out.
And it's also important her girlfriend or the pink haired girl was there also, to make sure that this all happens. Yeah. Yeah. A couple things you missed about what.
So let's critique my reviews and high explain movies.
The girl gets pulled. It's because they hear a dog barking. And the little boy runs and starts to pet, like, oh my God, no, I swear this is Spot. Oh my God, I knew the dog wasn't dead. Then that's the dog tongue that they ripped out from. So Spot was dead. Yeah. They unearthed him, ripped his tongue that was still there for reasons, because that's one of the first things that goes when you die, but the tongue was there. And then when she starts to feel, and then, she's like, oh, you're such a good boy. You're a good boy. And then the dog talks in a demonic voice and says, I am a good boy, which apparently is supposed to be Ozzy Osbourne. IMDb, the voice of that dog was Ozzy Osbourne.
Full disclosure, I saw this movie over a period of days.
Oh, okay.
I had to watch it in chunks because it was a very slow moving movie.
This is another case of it would have been better off as an anthology segment, I think. Yeah.
Shorter. Yeah. You mean, which right?
I think I said that about the last movie we reviewed too.
Mm-hmm. I think that. Yes, I agree. I like the concept, actually. I really like the idea.
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, it's very, it's you and I. I was happy to pick something like this because it is a little stage play-ish, which I thought we both would enjoy because we kind of have that background. Yeah. So I thought, I really like the way they filmed it. Sort of flat, four corners, you know, kind of like, huge, I thought it was kind of interesting. Bathroom. Like just the bathroom. Huge, but
so if you want to hear my five word plot summaries before we get into spoilers, I do have.
I think I spoiled everything already.
You haven't spoiled that he starts sucking on alcohol swabs.
That's off screen, isn't it? Like the fucking
they show it for a little bit. He like unwraps one of the alcohol swabs and he shoves it in his mouth. You see him like sucking. And then like he's drinking pure rubbing alcohol, so I mean that's why his eyes are bleeding at the end. It's not because of like demons or whatever, it's like he's straight killing himself from the inside. So you want, before we go full on spoiler, because there's like one last sort of twist, right? Or I guess two twists.
Last sorts of twists.
Which I have a strong opinion about the ending. But
wasn't very good.
Just felt like it wasn't earned. To be that twisty, like, oh whoa, like you know, you should have been doing this the entire time. So let's see if you agree with this.
Okay.
Plot four. John's five word plot summary after swindling. That's what. What is, swindling Rolando into thinking he hadn't seen the movie. For we need to do something. Coming in at number four, I have Ramona Flowers, evil ex-girlfriend.
That's a good one.
Coming in at number three. No, this was kind of stupid, but family spends the holidays together. Because like the first 30 minutes felt like a holiday movie. We're like, everybody's just bickering. And coming in at, I'm just going to skip one because that one I already said. Like, I was just talking about the bathroom being huge. Coming in at number one, family retreats to shit room.
Okay. Did you like this movie? Do you have strong opinions about this movie? I gotta know now.
It was like it. I think you're on the same page. I believe, or like it has such a fascinating sort of story. Like, there's the actual concept, I think, is really cool. I just think it was kind of poorly written. I think case in point is the dialogue between the girlfriends. It's like a little too much, a little too like, people don't talk like that, you know. like there's this one fucking line that made me like eye roll so hard, where the evil ex-girlfriend, even though that's kind of a spoiler, is like, I feel like there's something dead in me, something evil. And then like the last thing she says before the scene ends is like, I feel like inside of me there's something truly diabolical. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just waiting for the dun dun dun. And then like what was really keeping it together though really was what's her name, Vanessa Shawn, Pat Healy's interaction and acting. I thought they were very solid. The little boy, I don't know if he was supposed to die at that one moment, but I mean, I know he's a kid, but you could clearly see his stomach fucking, he was breathing real hard.
He was okay. Yeah. I don't like being mean to kids, but yeah.
And then Sierra McCormick was good, but I don't think the character was very well written. Because then she was just kind of there to be the catalyst for everything. Like, she didn't serve any real purpose other than to be like, oh, this is the reason this is happening. Which I did like that conversation at the end with Pat Healy basically calling her like, are you fucking stupid? Like, you think you did this because you said a spell? Which I was like, yeah, that's cool. I like the way he delivered most of his lines. Let's put it that way. He was very...
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of the bad guy, but he was the most relatable.
No, he's clearly positioned as the bad guy in this movie. So I don't know. I
mean, kind of, because she's kind of the bad guy, because she's the reason all this is happening, and I don't know.
Is it, though? I don't know. Yeah. It's an ambitious idea. It's a fun idea, but I'm on the same boat. Like, I think it is not. Well, I feel like if you do a one setting movie, you have to have like a certain like a lot of the dialogue needs to be clever, more clever than what it was. Yes, does that make sense? I thought the writing was good about distinguishing everybody and immediately setting everybody up, which I thought, like, okay, I know who this is. I know who this is. I know where this is going. Like, it's like, boom, I know where all these little storylines and threads were going. But I thought it was a little too on the nose with its character beats. And I found actually a lot of the things that they were doing cruel and not earned.
Yeah.
And their action.
And I think you nailed it on the head. And, like, if this was actually just a play, like if this was like a black box theater play, I think it'd be fucking cool. Like, I'd be like, dude, that was badass. But since it's a film where it's a very different medium for this sort of same art, you can't get away with this stuff because, like, you know, it's not, you're not just watching it one time. You can rewind it and be like, oh, that was lame. You know?
Yeah. But I will state that I really liked the direction. I thought Sean King O'Grady, the director, he had a nice like handle on the material and a good way of creating suspense throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Where I feel like the writing falls short, I feel like his direction was really well in that it's, I think a lot of the horror elements work and I think a lot of the humor works. And I think it's because of his direction, really, where it falls short. Actually, you know, I was going to say that this kind of, a lot of the blend of the humor and the horror was kind of like, maybe like a young Sam Raimi Evil Dead. Yeah. I don't know if you got that vibe. I don't know if you got that vibe or not. But I kind of felt like those, I felt, hints of it, right? Like he had a good handle on, in other words, like he had a really good handle on the on those
you
elements.
You know what I'm saying right now? The guy that wrote this, the teleplay, is also the guy that wrote the novel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why it's so wordy, or like, you know, I don't want to say wordy, but it is a little wordy. Like
it's not
no, it's not, yeah,
it's not clever. It's that's where I landed on it. It's not like fucking, and nor does it need to be, but you know, it's not like master theater writers, right? Like fucking, well, I don't know how you feel about like Tennessee Williams, yeah, or like fucking Aaron Sorkin, or like big wordy meaty dialogue, or like really genuine honest, like emotionally, yeah, raw writing.
Neil Simon,
like Tennessee Superman, Williams and stuff like
guys.
That.
Yeah.
Neil Simon, yeah. It just doesn't have that like that, because I feel like so much of this movie you have to imagine, and a lot of that's done in the writing. And I feel like you're basically betting on all the writing doing all that work.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is not, I think, carried through enough.
Let's talk about the ending though. What is your interpretation of this? Oh, spoiler. Okay. What is your interpretation of this ending? So, like you said, dad is like, oh, we got to eat this kid. But what happens right before that is like,
is their son.
Homeboy goes blind because he fucking started sucking on alcohol swabs for, according to the wife, for like hours. So he.
Well, I mean, the way
I was going to say, no, just what, like, what is he doing? He's trying to find something to cut up his son with, and he ends up breaking the mirror.
Mm.
And then what, before anything can happen, does a mom stab him? No, like, cause he falls down, and then that rattlesnake pops out of nowhere again and bites him. And then he decides to rip the snake off of his face or whatever, and then bite the head off.
Uh-huh. And then begins to whip
the mother. That's right. He flogs the mother. Yeah, I was going to mention that. I forgot. Yeah. He's like flogging his wife with a fucking snake body, which I thought was really funny. I didn't mean to laugh at it. I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
It was good. It was good humor. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's like some humor elements to this movie. You can't get away with.
The snake is biting the dad. He's just fucking cracking up. Like he's lost. He's like, fuck it. What else could happen here?
So I think what I was going to mention was that there has to be, there's a lot of tension between the mother and the father character, right? So it's a fucking Chekhov's gun, right? There has to be a moment in the movie that the gun goes off, right? Like, so basically they have to explode, and it's set up to where the son is dead, and the son clearly gravitated more to the mother and didn't have as much of a relationship with the father, right? So the son is now dead. So there's very little in the way of them going off on each other, and they do, and they begin to fight, which is kind of like the big resolution, you know, of the story. It's like, oh, they're going to fight each other, and all these things happen, and the father is finally dead because he's the antagonist.
Because I thought this was actually one of the strongest points in the movie. The daughter, who I should mention, is a pink-haired girl. She has this like crazy fucking fever dream that you're not sure is real or not yet. Right. Where's my brother? Whatever. Like, or where he's always been, and he's in the tub and he's like already decayed. Kind of like what Spot looked like when they ripped his tongue out, the dead dog. And then they're looking at her weird, and they're like, what? They're in her fever dream. They're trying to kill her, and her eyes are bleeding. Kind of like what happens to her dad when she comes to, and you find out that she drank a whole bottle of why am I blanking on this? Like sleep medicine. Like, so she was trying to kill herself. And then the dad says something like, oh, you couldn't leave me a drop. Oh, fuck, whatever. So that's when he starts sucking on alcohol swabs. And then kind of like in her dream, his eyes start to bleed like that. Like, I think they were trying to be clever with, like, a lot of connections. But, you know, a lot of it fell flat. Mm. But that was worse because I thought that part was cool.
Yeah, where her stomach explodes. And there... blood starts falling out of her, and the mother and the father are like drinking it in this like very red room situation. It's a little fucked up. I thought it was a little fucked up.
That's
cool.
Like a lot of the makeup was really cool, but like her scratching at her like her slit wrist looked really bad, especially because she was like picking at it. Uh-huh. Like, could have figured out a different way to do this. But yeah, so yeah, I guess like. Dad starts attacking mom, right? Yeah.
She's being flogged, and then the daughter stabs him with the shard or whatever.
And then and somehow, for stabs him in the back. Reasons, the blood starts squirting
and
out.
Yeah, yeah. Uncontrollably, yeah.
And dad is finally dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's only mom and daughter now, and daughter's like, you know what? This is a perfect time for a nap. So she falls asleep. Days? Correct. Yeah, yeah.
So this months? No, because one of my biggest pet peeves is that, okay, so that they casually mention when they're trying to get out, daughter casually mentions like, "What if we just dig a hole out or whatever?" Like, what? And the dad gives this really like condescending answer, like, "Oh, is this like,
this 16-inch brick steel
and metal like, and brick of, and all this bullshit, some shit." Yeah,
he does mention.
I don't remember exactly
like
what he said. It was just very kind of condescending.
That doesn't make any sense. Like 6 inches of wall maybe would make more sense, but I feel like he did say 6 feet, which makes no sense at all. But either way, I see what you're getting at.
I don't know. Maybe imagine that.
Mom had to have been picking at that tile wall for a long fucking time.
Exactly. That's what they could have done. Dude, they have so many like bullshit cuts of shit. Yeah. Like they've just had her just like fucking picking away at it. Just sort of just and not getting anywhere. She's just picking. And dad maybe just says like, fucking stop doing that. You bitches. I don't know. Let me give me sucking on some alcohol pad or something. I don't know. I'm not a writer. But then, like, they could have set that up better because, like, almost in an instant, she makes, like, this perfect man-sized hole that she can now escape out of.
It was
kind of
like a split-up montage scene of her doing that. Like, regardless, I would assume that the daughter had to have been asleep for days then. Because she stayed asleep. And then the mom's kind of saying, I'm just going to go see what's out there. Stay here, whatever. Like, you know, daughter's still asleep. She crawls out. Like this long, awkward, I'm going to point it out. Uh-huh. This like long, awkward scene of just like the mom. And then you just like see her like bent over. And then it's just like a solid 30 seconds of like, her ass, and then finally she crawls through the fucking hole, and then it like cuts back to the daughter who's still asleep having the best dreams ever, I'm assuming, even though she just had a bunch of nightmares. And then she comes to, and then mom comes back. She comes to, she looks up, she sees her girlfriend, and she's like, oh, you're here. And then the girlfriend's like, I've been cutting myself, and through her wounds a bunch of like very Hellraiser-esque type of like veins start to wrap around her, you know,
tentacly.
And then she's like, oh no, oh shit. And then the mom crawls back through and she's all fucked up. She's got blood all over her. You're not sure if she's got wounds or not. And she said, I just saw so-and-so, Amy, I think is the girlfriend's name. Saw Amy. I swear I just saw Amy. And the mom's like, no, I know you did. You did. You did. I know you did. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And then she just keeps repeating that. And then the daughter's like, what's out there? And she's like, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And then that's just kind of how it wants to end. But then they have that one last, like, something's breaking through the hole that she made. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they both like, huh? Dude, they went, and then it cuts to red or whatever. And then it cuts to very catchy 80s pop 80s song. 80s
style, like drive style electronica sort of deal, right? And then directed by Sean King O'Grady. And it's like, oh, okay. Not my favorite ending.
Not my favorite ending either. I wasn't sure how to take that ending. I don't know. I could see what the intention is, I believe, but it did seem a little hammy the way they did it. I don't know if I'm supposed to take it seriously or not.
I was so on board with what I thought was going to be a red herring of she assumes that she's the reason that this all happened, which she kind of is, but the reality is they're all in purgatory. Mm-hmm. But no. No, it seems more cut and dry than I want it to be.
Yeah. I don't know if I even am interested to figure it out. I don't think the movie held my attention enough because, to think
like they that set up this family drama it. And then there's no payoff for that. There's no it doesn't matter. It didn't matter. It was just there to be like, oh, we need to kill off a character that you're supposed to get attached to, but I never gave a shit about the kid. And then you're like, oh, when is the dad going to snap because he's the bad guy? But like the only person he ever hurts, really? Well, he kind of hurts the son. Oh, yeah. There's that fucking scene where he's like, he has this grand idea because he's always drunk. He's like, I'm going to shove my son through the door crack. And it's like, you hear like his skull is like sort of cracking or some bullshit, like shoving him through the fucking door crack. It was really funny. Yeah, he had all the best moments, I think.
Yeah. Dad. It was a fucked up, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I'm like, you know what? I probably would have done the most same relatable shit, character.
It's like, really?
Yeah. The evil dog.
Ozzy Osbourne. I relate evil dog. To the dog. The evil dog. The most.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what. Ozzy Osbourne, the evil dog.
Last thoughts, would not recommend.
Alrighty. last thoughts. I think there is an audience for this movie. I don't know if I'm the audience for this movie. I feel like this is one of those movies we're gonna like go out and people are gonna talk about this movie, be like, oh, that movie's badass, and we're gonna be like, really? Really? You thought that was good? I feel like there's a certain segment of people that are going to really love this movie. That's fine. That's fine. More power to them. I'm okay with that. I'm not trying to be saying that that audience is any less or better than me or not. But I see this especially movie having an audience. Unfortunately, like I don't think I could recommend
There's another movie, which I'm going to highly recommend to our audience that I have not seen in well over a decade. Maybe we should watch it and review it, but I think it's set up exactly like a play, and it's a movie called Low, L-O. It's very fucking good from what I remember. Mm.
Okay. We might not be able to get to with all our Silent Night, Deadly Night sequels we got to watch.
Yeah, our next Halloween.
No, what is it called? It's planned. Our next, you know... 10, 15 Halloweens are playing now. So we're set up.
Yeah, we're good set decade. Up well into our 50s over here.
But no, that's a great recommend. That's a good recommend. Yeah. Alrighty. John, how many six spooky bones do you want to give it?
Sexy bones. No, wait, don't. don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give We Need to Do Something. They need to do something about their movie. That. And I'm going to give it 3 sexy, spooky bones for the good boy spot.
Ah, God. I should have known. I don't even like this title. What is this? This is a writer's title. Yeah, we need to do something. It's like, that's not.
Oh, it's because like the whole movie, that's like, not very good. They're just all like, oh, we need to do something.
Yeah. But you know, like I said, I think that there's some interesting things, a lot of interesting ideas. Not always, in my opinion, well achieved or fully fleshed out. So I'm gonna give it 4 sexy spooky bones.
Nice. Do you think a better alt title would have been Trapped or Stuck?
I like both.
Spot.
I don't know.
Call the movie Spot. Because they're in one spot and the dog is Spot.
That's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. I like that. All right. Cool. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to go.